Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 156 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And today we've got a cantina conversation with you between our book reviewer Megan and Zoe Makuta. Zoe's the author of her debut novel, Gearbreakers. And in this book, they discuss how she came up with the story, some of her inspiration, some of her process, and a little bit about this new sci-fi novel. So stick around for the interview. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, we're here with Zoe Hannah Makuta. We're talking about her debut novel, Gearbreakers. It's releasing on June 29th. Once again, thank you so much, Zoe. This book was so cool. It was your debut novel, and you're on the younger side for a debut novel, so it's very awesome. And I'm glad I got the chance to read it. And thanks for giving us a chance to talk to you today, so that we can dive in a little deeper.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So we can start off with like maybe going over your background and, kind of like where you got inspiration for the story for Gearbreakers. And, also I want to hear like if there was any research that went into it, because it's like, it's like sci-fi, and with any sci-fi genre, you got to try to at least know what you're talking about. So, I'd like to hear more about how that went down.
Yeah, so to start from my background, let's see. I've always liked writing, so I was always, really driven to be an author, just because it's like the art I find the most comfort in is the longer prose. In senior year, I started drafting the first draft of Gearbreakers, and that was around like when I was applying to colleges and stuff. So I was like really stressed about like starting a new phase of life. So, but that actually involved like a lot of just rewatching Pacific Rim on a loop, basically, because it's like my favorite movie. It's completely nice. Ridiculous, dramatic acting, but just like that mecha trope, it's just in my head all the time. See if it's like a de-stressor, and it just became this whole thing that I don't know. It just grew definitely from like the first draft to the final draft. It's a whole different book.
I definitely get that Pacific Rim vibe, but it's kind of like it goes deeper, like it's not just people like training to do it or being chosen or being paired. It's like I did get the vibe that, well, aside from the one of the main characters, but I guess they do get chosen, right? Like they go through these training and stuff, but it's they're not just like humans, they're experimented on, their they're almost made into like cyborgs, they're cyborg adjacent beings, where that makes them kind of like part of that like elite group, where those are the only people who have that ability to operate these huge machines. So I definitely liked how you kind of went a step deeper, and then like how what kind of implications that would have with the people who are being made into like those cyborg beings, and then like kind of how that would like alter or change their not like their biology, but like the psychology behind it, like how would they feel, how would that affect like their ego, their power, their sense of self, sense of worthiness, if they're like having machinery installed in them and they're like the chosen ones that can operate the bigger picture stuff. The research, yeah. So like with the research part, was it just like the Pacific Rim that kind of like just got you, you just dove deep into it and you took it to the next level?
I would say the most research heavy part I did was what you just mentioned, was the body modifications, because with everything else, I feel like I set everything so far in the future, because I don't know a ton about STEM really. So I said everything so far in the future. So people can't really check me on like just the semantics around both like the cyberpunk weaponry and like how the mechas are able to like emulate human movements exactly. But for the body modifications, definitely I was looking in just like brushing up on my anatomy, which I didn't have a lot to begin with knowledge wise. But like stuff like how the eyes work, I was really interested in that. So I like figured out how, or I didn't figure out, but I like looked up how like they connect the face of the brain and how it like affects the nervous system, and like kind of because I was like, I need, because the pilots, right, the cybernetically enhanced cyborgs, they can only feel pain when they're they're put into their mecha, and that was like a, you know, like it was like a bigger element. So that was definitely like, I would have to just, I was looking at nervous systems, and I was kind of like, not even like to put directly in the book, because people more like the story than like all the right, but like it was really interesting for me, because I was like, now I can like build up on this, like with just acting like I had the knowledge the whole time.
Well, it probably gives you more freedom to focus on, you know, the meat and potatoes rather than like, you know, that little, but because you don't want to insult the reader. You want to assume that they kind of understand a certain extent of what you're getting into. But yeah, no, that's cool. So this is your debut novel. Tell me about that. Like, what was the process like of, you know, when did you decide to push your story out into the world? You know, it got picked up and all the editing and all that. And it's an exciting process. And I know it takes months to go through it. So, you know, as like a debut author, like, why don't you, you know, tell me more about how that went down for you?
Yeah. So I finished the first draft, like, I would say end of senior year. This was in 2018. I just hesitated. It's 2018. And then I went through another round of edits, and then I started the querying process where I was trying to get an agent. And that took around 6 months. So like, actually it was like there was like 2 weeks before I started my freshman year at the University of Washington that I got a call from an agent, and she wanted to represent me. And so through the first half of my my freshman year of college, I was editing, and then we were on submission around like November, December 2018. And then it was April 2019, like 4 months after being on sub with publishers, that my agent called me, and it was like a week before my 19th birthday. And she was like, "We have an offer on the table." I was like, "Great!" Like, so excited, like crying, so happy. And then, like, and then just like a year and a half of nothing, because that's just so things are picking up now. Like, I'm doing other like interviews, like this one, and it's weird suddenly, because it's just been like I've just been sitting with it for so long,
right? And yeah, you're probably like, did I do something? Like, is there anything left for me to do? Like, am I missing it? So how was that, like, you know, when the world went on fire, when you kind of like had to wait around and make sure, you know, everything was good to go, but then you know, there was a virus that happened and like everything got turned up on its head? Cause even people who are published authors, you know, who have at least half a dozen books under their belt, they, this past year threw them for a loop for sure. And the industry was turned on its head. So I guess it's kind of like, you know, this is the only experience you have so far, but like, you know, it seems like you kind of went through it right before all of it went down.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm it was just like, you know, weird time, because I was like, first nervous I want to have like a book launch, which is like now the least of my concerns. Honestly, I'm quarantine head, so I'm like very happy seeing my family to celebrate. I just like was watching. It was like definitely terrible for other authors who are debuting in 2020, because I was just like watching them be like just sad online like about I can't imagine now, but it's also like it is my first time, so I have nothing to compare it to.
And then there's
so much of like book marketing nowadays is on social media, so it's also that like weird disconnect where then I have more time to be on social media, which has been like a new thing, right?
Yeah, right.
So I've been, you know, doing the content thing. So it's like, you know, in a way it was helpful, you know, just like pandemic started and my mom called me in like March and she's like, "You need to come home right now." I was like, okay. So I was like, I was there until December, and now I'm in Seattle, but I was like hunkered down doing online school, right? But just inside. So it's actually like wildly productive. I wrote like 2 books. One of them is the Gearbreaker sequel.
Okay. That was going to be my question like towards the end. I'm like, please tell me there's a sequel.
Oh, yeah. So,
like that last, like, you know, couple pages, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, wait.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so glad it was a sequel, because my editor originally bought it as she was just gonna do a standalone, and I was like, should we change the ending? And she was like, no, it's okay. I was like, oh, be mad. But yeah, she read it again, like, actually, like, I was like, okay.
That's cool. No, that's exciting too, where you were kind of like, yeah, where she's like, no, we're good, and you're like, no, wait, what? Like, because even then it's like, it's your baby, you want to make sure that you see it out, and you know, it's just, I can imagine it's like a little bit nerve-wracking on, you know, for your part, where to be like, wait, I have so many more things to tell and to say, mm-hmm. and all that. No, that's good. I'm glad that there's going to be a sequel, because that was just, yeah. No, I keep tabs on like my reading progress, and I was like, wait, my book says there's only 5% left. Like, where is this going? And then, you know, because you did a good job. Like, I don't know how much editing was involved, but it was like, you know, pretty action packed. The story's not relatable. I would say that, you know, the characters are more relatable. But I was reading like your acknowledgments at the end, and how you were like, oh, well, I just wanted to, you know, initially it to be a robots like with angry kids, because that was like one of the first things I noticed. I was like, all these characters, like, they're all like, you know, they're like ruffians. They're just like, they're either all mad, or they're all smart asses, or they're all like troublemakers. And they it's like very fitting where they're just these are the type of people that you need to like you know, carry out these tasks. And you know, when you're taking down 100-foot robots, you definitely have to like have a certain grit, and you know, to you and it's, but you know, hearing the descriptions of these characters, and like how Eris was kind of just stuck with like the runts of all the litters ever, and you know, yeah, you know, just to like kind of go from there, where she was just like, you know, she just went with it because she kind of had no choice, you know, and there's a lot, you know, to go into her character too. But, and then you also mentioned in your acknowledgments that, you know, oh, but it kind of turned into a love story, which, you know, it being Pride Month now, we can definitely like get into that. Cause I think, you know, reading when I did some of my background research on you, and how you just like, you wanted there to be more voices in literature, that kind of represented you and people in your community. You know, not just as, you know, LGBTQ, but also, you know, Asian Americans, which I think it was so important too. So it's really cool how your debut, the release date is set around kind of pretty relevant time, not just with the month, but also with, you know, we're trying to get more voices out there. We're trying to push them out there. Like, I think that if you know where to look, you can find them, but you know, there could always, representation is so important. So yeah, we could talk, why don't you like talk about that for a little bit more, how you kind of like it flowed, like did it kind of start that way, but, or did it like kind of flourish into something more than that?
Yeah. So like in high school, I wasn't really, I'm bisexual, right? And I wasn't really I hadn't really come to terms with that yet. And basically like through the first half of Gear Breakers, I'm like, I know they're going to fall in love. I was worried I was like fetishizing sapphic relationships.
Sure.
And then I like, and then I had to like take a step back and been like, what are you talking about? Like, so, you know, it's all good now. But yeah, basically I was like, you know, might as well, and then I really leaned into it, right, because I knew, and I was like, you know, I like haven't had books where it's like with this specific demographic, and there are people mm-hmm. who share my specific demographic, they're Asian and queer, and but like not in sci-fi a lot, and I was like, yeah, let's just like read this, because like basically I don't know, but I think that the idea is like, why not put in that representation, especially like when I'm speaking from my own experiences, and sure, people might be like, oh, you're like self-inserting, and I'm like, maybe I can just do whatever I want, because yeah, I can, it's not about you if you think I'm self-inserting, right?
Right. It'd just be like, it's not for you then, you know, then it's for the other people who kind of like relate to that on that level.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, and I feel like with characters where like, you know, I'm not like personality wise, I'm very distant from Eris and Sona and most of the characters, right? But like, just like having those elements in them that I identify with, I feel like it helps me like even though personalities are different, like it helps me write them more authentically, or even like hold them more like accurately in my head, if that makes any sense. It just helps me build them if I can recognize them, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense too, because it's like, you know, I mean, everybody, women are allowed to be multidimensional, like gay people, bisexual people, just as much as straight people are allowed to be multidimensional. You know, even though if your personality, you know, doesn't necessarily align with those of your characters, it's like they're still, you know, sharing all these qualities. This just speaks more of the fact that, you know, they exist. It's just kind of part of who they are. And their personalities are just so much more than that. And it's based on, you know, their experiences, and because they have both have like pretty different experiences, Sona and Eris, and it's, you know, and they're both pretty heartbreaking, to say the least. But yeah, it's you know, I really enjoyed kind of bouncing back in between the two voices. So was that difficult? I understand it's probably intentional, but was it difficult to try to like distinguish between the two voices and then, you know, keep reinforcing that as you go by each chapter?
Yeah, definitely at first I would say like it's weird because like as I write, and this is with like any project, like you know how like you're reading any book and there's like a voice in your head and it kind of like becomes more distinct to that character as you get to know that character better. And I don't know, like writing, being in the position of a writer, like it's no different. So it was definitely like there in my head, like further into the manuscript, and then I had to go back and more work, you know, around those distinctions. But like by the time I'm writing the second book, like it's almost so easy. I mean, it's not easy, but like it's just, I don't know, they're two different people. Like it's something I don't have to like fight myself over anymore. It's kind of cool.
I mean it makes sense that you would kind of get the hang of it after like one book at least, because you can kind of tell with Sona, where she you know, because she's kind of like a cyborg-ish person, she, you know, her like personality and her mannerisms and the way she speaks and interacts with people, like her personality is just, you can sense that robotic like tone, or she's matter of fact. You know, she doesn't really, I guess it reminds me almost of somebody maybe on the autism spectrum, because maybe she's like still kind of struggling to recognize like emotions, because she'll even say it like plainly, like, oh, I just imagine her saying like, oh, you're angry. Like, you know, just kind of being like very matter of factly. And and like, you know, it was just, I thought it was really cool how, like, to dig into that, you know?
Yeah. She, like, it was like her character especially was, I think it was more difficult to write her personality than Eris's, because Eris is kind of, you know, at first she's like very like the classic cold-hearted renegade until she goes through her like softening up arc, in my head. But with Sona, like she's more like, I definitely more like analytical, and she'll like, she's definitely like not unemotional, because like she's actually driven by pure rage,
but exactly.
Otherwise, like it's basically like that rage, but simple. But one thing I did do, like, just to, I don't know, I guess contrast her and just like make her personality less static, was just put in that she's like shameless flirt, even though like she has this whole demeanor. But I just thought that was funny too. I was like, I think it's funny.
But I guess it's like, you know, you live like most of your life not feeling any physical pain. It's just like, what, you know, maybe she, that kind of like attributes that. She's just like, well, what are, you know, what's the worst you're gonna do? You're gonna slap me, like, what if I'm being rude, like what are you gonna do about it, kind of thing, you know? And it's and there's like,
what are you gonna do?
And like adds to that, them feeling so unsettled, like the rest of the Gearbreakers, like when they're trying to like see her, and like, because they're definitely, you know, some of the characters take accept her a little bit more than others, understandably. But it just, even like with her different personality and the way that she like speaks, or the way that she's like, like so, like kind of shameless about just being so blunt, and matter of fact, where it just adds to like their skepticism, you know, because they're like, who is this girl? Who is this, like, you know, being, because like they struggle to see her as a human, where that's all she's like, you know. But I love that about Sona, where she's just like, she, you know, she's just very matter of fact, but then she's also like, I'm not, no, I am human. Like, screw you. Like, I, you know, this is, and then she just has to keep reminding herself, you know, she wants to take down this empire from the inside out. Like, she's like, she's been building up to this, and she's got to keep that big picture in mind, even though, like you said, like, she does have emotions, and she does, you could tell, like, she does have, like, remorse and, you know, second guessing whenever she has to do certain things. And so that's where that, like, human part comes in, you know. It's kind of like, you know, and then you wonder, like, okay, so, I mean, I guess I could, you're the author, you know, but then it's like, okay, so that was on purpose, but was it, you know, was it on purpose by, like, the Academy, the people who made her that way? Like, were they trying to, like, keep that level balanced or unbalanced? Or, you know, it's like, what, you know, I'm definitely reading into the psychology of this. Like, when does that cross over? When does it, because, you know, even towards the end, they mentioned, like, well, we can, you know, I don't want to be too spoilery, but it's like, you know, they can essentially do whatever they want with the people that they make, you know, it changes to. And so it's, you know, it's like, what, how far does that go? And I guess I would love to see more of, like, the background, or, like, the experimentations, or, like, why, you know, how many failed attempts did it take to get to, like, their pilot model, you know? And, you know, I'm guessing maybe that's something that you may or may not dive into in the second book, or, you know, or maybe there's some background lore out there for for your world, you know.
this is cool, actually, because I don't think I've gotten questions on their personalities, or just, like, in relation to the Academy, because I think it's, like, it speaks to their arcs, right? Where it's, like, I think Eris's arc is more, like, it's more about how she views and treats others, and Sona's arc is more of how she regards herself, which is, you know, of course, all results of circumstances, but it's just interesting stuff to think about, I guess, even though I should know exactly.
Yeah, it is something that, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's like, you know, these people have probably lived in your head for so long that you know, it just makes so much sense to you. It's hard to, like, you know, kind of iterate those things, because you're like, well, they're in my brain, like, you know. So, like, okay, so what were, like, you know, the biggest lessons learned during, you know, this process of writing and releasing a debut, you know, pandemic or not? And then, like, you know, if you have projects that you're thinking about in the future, you know, what kind of, like, are those lessons, like, what are you going to take with you as you, you know, progress as a writer?
Yeah, I would say, like, my main thought process, and I think I was just thinking about this more because, like, felt pretty much alone, you know, which is cool because I feel like I was able to get my footing on this thought process pre-release, is that, like, people are gonna read the book and not everyone's gonna like it.
Sure.
And, okay, because, like, art is so, it's so subjective, and that's, like, the mantra I keep repeating to myself, like, it's fine. And people, if someone doesn't enjoy it, then it's, like, it's only my business if they enjoy it, because then, like, we're, like, you know, then we're the same, and it's fine. Like, and then if you don't like it, it's okay. It's none of my business, kind of thing.
Right. That's a good outlook. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I'm trying to, like, cement. But every time I say it, you know, maybe a little bit more. And then I guess the other thing is that, like, you know, Gearbreakers is, like, my baby book. I, like, wrote it. Like, it comes from, like, me at 17 years old. Like, it's gone through rewrites, but, like, definitely I feel like I just need to keep reminding myself that, like, what I'm doing currently is, like, my best work, I think, is, like, just everything I do is practice, because it's art, and, well, it's like anything else, right? It's just you're practicing. And, you know, I'm just, like, because I want to write everything, right? Like, I'm definitely not, like, committed to the sci-fi genre.
Okay.
Fantasy and horror and contemporary, like, I'm all over the place. But just, like, looking back at Gearbreakers, there is, like, this moment of panic where I'm like I don't write like this anymore. Like, there's definitely, like, some of my voice there, but I really get solid on it, like, especially I just wrote my third book and I was like, this is, like, so, like, I like this a lot more. I, like, see, like, how distinct I'm becoming a lot more. Mm-hmm. And, like, that makes me panicky, of course, because, like, only my first book is coming out, and I'm like, people are gonna think that, like, I'm not going to get any better. But then I'm like, you know, time passes and other stuff is going to come out. I just need to wait. Everyone doesn't need to know right away. So this is the thing of, like containing myself around that. Because, like, you know, it's a, you know, there's, like, all these literary stuffs in the book. Like humanity lessons I can take away from the book as I like draw them out for myself, but also like I'm like a person who's writing them, and I like, you know, I'm the one who's interacting with the real world, and it's something that makes me think, you know, I need to like take like just the self-care that I'm trying to put in my characters, and like I think it's good to diffuse it and just carry on, basically.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you had in mind. That's the question.
Oh, but no, absolutely. No, because yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, as you talk about like, no, I, you know, you want to write more, write more things and work on more projects in different genres. It's like, yeah, you know, of course, as being your debut, like, of course you're going to learn and grow as a writer. Like, you know, if you ask any other like published authors, or even if you follow any other authors, you see a book that they wrote 10 years ago is going to be, you're going to notice the difference that, you know, the book that they're writing now or that they had just released now. And, you know, that's part of it. It's like, you know, you don't want to peak too early, right? And you don't want to like master everything right away, because then there's no challenge. And then even then, if you maybe find yourself getting bored, you know, or you feel like you've mastered all your skills, then you look for new ways to challenge yourself. You look for new horizons, you know, you look for new ways to get better. But yeah, that's like what you're saying, you know, that's a healthy outlook to just be like, you know, people to just expect, like, some people are not, you know, it's not going to resonate with them, or they're not going to get what you want out of it, or they're just not going to like it. It's not going to be their taste. And as long as you already know that and already come to terms with that, you know, because that's even experienced authors, like, because I interview authors all the time, and it's, you know, they say the same thing, where it's, you know, you gotta not spend too much time listening to the mean people, you know, and listening to the bad things, because, you know, or take them with a grain of salt, maybe look for the constructive criticism in there. You know, rather than it's things that are subjective, like, you know, like you said. So no, but I honestly, just going to buy this first book, I think you're off to a great start. You know, and it was cool. It's pretty easily digestible. You know, it was easy to read, and the pace was really good. Like, I kept, like, as I was nearing towards the end, then I was like, okay, like I'm powering through this, because I got, like, not only did I want to finish it before talking to you, but I was also like, it was so easy to, like, just, you know, get sucked in. And I think that's one of, like, my favorite parts. Like, if I can get, it could be like about anything, like any genre, any topic, as long as I get sucked in, I think that's like half the battle, you know, just to like really engage your reader, whether they're into sci-fi or not, whether they've seen Pacific Rim or not, you know, it's like, just do your best to like get them hooked and like, you know, no, just give me a chance, just give this book a chance. And, you know, if not, in the worst case scenario, it's not that long of a book, you know, it's like, it's not that hard to get through, you know, it's just like, just give it a shot. No, but that's good. I'm, you know, I'm glad that you have like kind of a healthy outlook already. And it's like, you know, barely a month away from you're on the month countdown, like less than a month to go. And so, yeah, this, you're kind of like enjoying this little like prep phase before, you know, it comes up, and then you're going to kind of be like in the honeymoon phase, and then, you know, kind of like, but, you know, like, you know, just like relax. Like, what else can you do now, right? Even though it's like, oh, you just wish the 29th was here, and so you could just like get it over with. And it's like, I imagine the anticipation's probably like killing you.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I'm a little disassociating about it, which is fine.
So then, like, you're like in college now, and that's so crazy that like you started writing this book when you were still in high school. How like was that, you know, amongst, like, did you share that with people, like your family and friends and stuff, like, hey, I'm writing a book? And then like a couple years later, like, oh, hey, by the way, like, my book got published, like, or it's getting published, it got accepted, blah blah blah.
I remember it was like fourth or fifth period lunch I had, and that's like basically where I did the bulk of my writing. I would go to the library at my high school, and we had a beautiful library set at the window. But I didn't tell my parents that I was writing a book until like I got my agent. I didn't tell anyone. Like, I still won't tell people because I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm doing other things. I'm thinking about other things. But my parents thought I was getting scammed, of course, because I'm like 18, signed a contract, and I was like, maybe I am getting scammed.
Oh no.
But you know, it works out. I basically like, I'm sure I'll get like such a bigger head about it after I publish. But I think my ideology now, and it's bad, it's that like if I tell people, it like won't happen. It's like a weird thing where, like, until I have a physical copy in my hands, like,
right,
like better not, like just like knock on wood, not like disturb the waters. After it publishes, I'll be probably up about it more, especially since like my university has been helping me. Just like they've just done a couple interviews with me, so it's gonna be weird because like definitely when I walk into like my classes next quarter, because we're in person, yay, like, professors are, they're probably gonna know who I am, and I like don't know what to say when they're like, yeah, that girl published a book, and I was like, I don't know how to say yeah.
Yeah, right, well that's all you have to say, it's like, yeah, so you're gonna read it, right?
Yeah.
Like, this, just say that, just be like, it's like, yeah, yeah, you're gonna read it then, right? Like,
lean into it. Yeah. Hopefully, exactly. That'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, right? Like, you don't have to, like, yeah, you don't want it to go to your head. And that's so funny how you're like, no, until it's out, then I know it, like, it's real.
Yeah, basically, probably not the best. But I just remember I was in Queen Anne Bookshop with my aunt the other day, and I was like asking for like their booksellers, just like contact card. And they're like, oh, because they saw like my university put out an article and like it's local. So they're like, are you the girl who wrote Gearbreakers? And I like froze up. My aunt is laughing and left. And she's like, you went completely red.
I was like, oh, no, my God.
But I don't know. I'll get over it.
I hope you do. I mean, because it's just the start, really. Like, like, you're going to get a lot more of that. And maybe just in person, like stuff like this or stuff, you know, like over text or email or, you know, social media is probably easier to, like, you know, you can take a pause and respond how you want to. Right. But yeah, like when you have your guard down out and about in the real world, and somebody's like, it's like, oh wait, like, and you're like, and you hear your the title of your book and you're like, oh shit, like,
yeah, like, what are you doing?
That's so cool. So are you freaking out? I heard an executive producer recently acquired the screen rights for like a possible movie. How are you freaking out even more now? Like, how, like, let's, like, tell me about that.
You're pretty zen about that, because like it's weird because I'm like, this is not the basket I'm putting all my eggs in, if I use that.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but because like tons of movies get acquired, tons of books get acquired and like not turned, but I just like something I do think about it, and I'm like, I'm not gonna hype myself up too much, but I am allowed a little fantasy now and then, seeing it.
Yeah.
But that's just like, even more weird than what's going on currently. So that's in the back of my head.
Oh, sure. Like, so maybe, you know, circle back to if it's being like more so becoming a real thing.
Definitely.
And then maybe you'll probably be singing a different tune.
Yeah, totally. Oh, absolutely. It's like, that's like hungry. I will not shut up about it.
That's so cool. No, that's so exciting. It's so crazy. Cause like, you know, yeah, like how you said, like, oh, plenty of books get sold and nothing really happens. But you know, I guess it's like, yeah, like, you know, one thing at a time, right? Like, you gotta get past the release date and then the reception, like how people love it, like it, whatever.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Right. And then hopefully, you know, do you have like a release day or a timeline for your sequel too?
I think we have it slated for June of next year. June.
Oh, cool.
For the sequel. Otherwise, like, it's still kind of COVID. So like, I'm going to go around and sign books. Just like after the release date for Gearbreakers. And then I'm like going back to Colorado, which is like my home state. And, just gonna be visiting bookstores around there and just
yeah
hang out. It's kind of cool though, because like I'm kind of okay with it being more low-key, just because I said with quarantine I haven't interacted with large groups of people, and I'm kind of okay with it, to be honest.
Right,
like just like you said, like I'm like I have a very bright personality over social media, and I don't know if it's true in real life, but it's definitely easier. So
no for sure. Let me see here. I want to make sure we get through everything that I wanted to talk about. Okay, so what were your, the kind of a two-part question, what were your favorite parts to write, and what were the most difficult parts to write?
Let's see. Definitely, like, my favorite parts were just, like, because it turned out into a love story. like the interactions between Sona and Eris, like, they, like, I don't know. I got really soft, and those are the parts I definitely go back and, like, reread when I need, like, a little happy boost, because they're
They are, yeah.
But you don't talk about that. And then, let's see. I guess more difficult parts is that, like, definitely, like, I've kind of grown out of this a little, but I still do it a lot because I enjoy it, was, like, I just, like, pump in, like, just very heavy, like, descriptive prose, which gets a little messy in the fight scenes because, like, I need to keep stuff moving along. So, like,
yeah,
those definitely I needed to go back and kind of just, like, comb out all of the, like, just, like, flowery descriptions that I love. So
oh, yeah.
Just to keep it going, I'm also, like, you know, the characters do get into, like, their emotional heads quite a bit, and I also need to, like dial it back a little.
Sure.
As my editor calls it, around just the fight scenes, just because it's, like, let's just focus on not dying and not, like, development. But those are also really fun to write. Like, I have, like, playlists for just fight scenes, and they're, like, really just, like, this, just, like, really heavy rock music, and it kind of makes, like, the first draft's a mess, but it makes it really, really fun to write.
right. You just gotta get something out there half the time, right? Like, you just, like, you could edit it later. You could cut it down later, add more later. You just need to get something on the page.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, did you experience writer's block? Like, what kind of things do you do to, like, kind of keep it moving? Like you said, you know, music to kind of help you get in the zone. What other kind of things that you do to kind of, like, you know, either prepare or get in your zone, or to get over any, like, writer's block that you come across?
Yeah, I have a really, I wouldn't say bad habit because it, like, works for me, but I go into projects without, like, I, like, have no planning. I have, like, characters mostly, and then I have, like, a pitch plot, and it's, like, which is not concrete and doesn't really tell me where I'm gonna go. So basically I'll be, like, 50% through, like, a manuscript, and my editor will be like, can you please put a synopsis together just for my sake? And that's what I'll do it. But, like, mostly, like, how I write is just, like, I just have to write, because otherwise it won't come to me. And usually that ends up with me staring at my computer for large periods of time. Because I'm also a perfectionist, which is bad, because I didn't let that go for first drafts. So it is, like, some periods of, like, I'll just be sitting there. Sometimes I'll jump around to different scenes. But mostly, like, if I'm okay, like, I need to be okay with just, like, writing and just having, like, just writing and being like, I might have to cut this entire thing, but I'm still going forward.
Yeah.
That next plot point that I do know. Right. But it's just, like, it's always a process. And, like, I just had the mindset that I need to grow out of, that, like, if I do it right the first time, I won't have to, like, do it. I won't have to edit more later. So I might as well just get it all done now. But it's just really, like, taking it slow. Or I guess kind of slow, but yeah, for writer's block, I definitely like music. Sometimes I'll jump around projects, although I'm trying to do that less because it's distracting. Or I go back and edit, just keep moving.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's kind of like, you know, some, you know, it's almost like, was it Doug in Up where he's like squirrel, like, like, he's like mid thought, and then he, like, you kind of, like, something comes into your brain, and then you're like, oh, I should actually take care of that real quick. And
yeah,
like, I do that, you know, just at my job, and or, like, even just at, just around the house. Like, I don't know, I have a 6-month old and a 3.5-year-old, and even, you know, it's, they, obviously they pull me in a different direction when I'm trying to get something done. But I think my brain just kind of like goes with that anyway, where I'll get started on something and then, yeah. And then you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, oh, this reminds me. And then I got to go do that. And then, yeah, if you kind of bounce around, but then maybe like that just kind of, you know, allows you to take a break and to come back fresh and, you know, just gives you that little buffer in between. So you're not like, you know, it's part of your work, but it's also probably part of like a little mental health too, you know, just to make sure that you're not going too deep or stressing out too much or just, you know, cause it is your baby and this is a very big deal. But it's kind of like, you know, you don't always want to take yourself too seriously sometimes. Yeah. Cause if you do, then, you know, the only person that you're being hard on is yourself, you know, mm-hmm. if you do that. And so, you know, I know I think you've got it down. I think you've got a good thing going so far. And, you know, as you learn and as you grow, as a writer, like, you know, I feel like you're off to a great start. You know, cause you just like, yeah, you've got like this awesome project that's coming up and then, a sequel that, like, I, you know, I'm glad that it's only a year out. It's like, I don't know. I guess that's pretty common for installments in like, you know, book series. But I don't know. There have been so many times where I start a book and I don't realize it's a trilogy. And I don't realize that the third book isn't coming out until like, you know, a year and a half or something. And I'm like, yeah. Why do I do this to myself? So yeah. I'm like, you know, and so like the big bookworm that I am, I'm just like, you know, try not to shake my Kindle and scream and, yeah. You know, but I appreciate it. And I keep going off on tangents, but, no, at the end of the day, I think whatever you're doing is working for you. And you know, you've got a healthy outlook as to like what you need to do, you know, in terms of making it better and pulling yourself through and taking those lessons with you too. You know, and, so like, oh, before we wrap up, like, what are you studying in school? And is that like, you know, is that cross-referencing into like your projects that you want to work on, like your any other stories and whatnot?
Yeah. So I am a creative writing major.
Okay.
And then I have a minor in history of religion, which also feeds in a little bit because there's like big psychological element to that.
Yeah.
But for creative writing, like our main track at my university is like you have your short prose class series and then like a poetry series, which is interesting because that's not, I usually am writing longer prose. So it's like, but it makes me feel like a true academic in my art.
Yeah.
That I'm doing all these different like kinds of writing, which I also think is good. Like it probably all feeds into one another, but developing versatility, I don't know if that's the right word for it, but just like
so.
Different mediums,
yeah.
I think it just helps me practice all in
for
all
sure.
Different forms, but I'm not in school right now because it was like Zoom university and I was like never mind. Actually I'm very excited to go back next quarter because like I don't know. There's a, I like, you know, I'll be writing a book whenever I'm doing class and like, it's a good balance for me. Like it just keeps me busy and I feel like I'm doing like very fulfilling stuff, just doing my academia and my art and it kind of like,
yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, no, that's awesome too. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, if your brain, if you figure out the way that your brain works and you figure out a way to like, you know, use that, you know, that energy and that brain power to do something that's like, and it being fulfilling, I think that is key for sure. You don't want to just do something for the sake of not being bored.
Right. You know,
as long as you're getting something out of it. And you know, that comes through the page for sure. We'll go ahead and wrap up here. Zoe, thank you so much. This was so cool. The book is so cool. I love, you know, reading. I love the characters are very fun to explore. The world is very fun to explore. And, you know, there's two badass chicks who, you know, one's a little bit augmented, but she's, you know, she's trying to use that to her advantage. And the other one's a little bit feral, but she's like the queen of the feral group. So to put it lightly, but they're both, you know, they're both getting shit done and they're trying to use 100-foot robots to do that, you know, to take down an empire. And, you know, you kind of have to, you have to put that shit aside. You kind of have to be a certain way to do that. And no, it was so cool learning about, you know, your process, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited to follow you and your career to see what comes up. And I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for that sequel. I'm waiting for it.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you liked it. And thank you for having me. It's so fun.
Oh, for sure. And we can find you on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, my full name. At whatever social media.
Okay. Are they going to just enter your Zoe Hannah Makuta in the search bar and probably find you, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Well, thank you so much. And we'll, you know, I'll keep an eye out for everything else you've got going on. And good luck as you, you know, start to get back to normal, hopefully, in the fall.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.
And thanks for listening to this Cantina conversation. You can find the links to Zoe's social media handles as well as a link to purchase the book at our show notes over at thenerdcantina.com/show156. And as always, I'd appreciate if you would take a moment to join our community over at thenerdcantina.com/community or give a rating review if you enjoy what we're doing here. And with all that said, talk to you later, nerds.